Let us begin this service by singing Psalm 33, the first and the last stanza, Psalm 33. Within thy temple, Lord, we think our mercies past. Let us all praise accord, long as thy name shall last. Number 1:33. We will read to you from God's holy word, 1 Corinthians 15, the first part. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father. And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. The Lord give us together een humble hart en een contrite spirit. We have it not of ourselves. We have lost in paradise everything. But that it be to the joy of our heart that the Father from all eternity has found a ransom. And that the Son of God has given his soul as a ransom for many. And that also the Holy Spirit has obliged himself in eternity to glorify Christ and to make place and room for the mediatorial work of that precious Lord Jesus Christ. That the Father had taken care for everything, for an offer sufficient to be reconciled with God, but above all, that it was to the honor and to the glorification of all the attributes of God. And that the Father also took care for an intercessor at the right hand in heaven, but also for an high priest, a thanking high priest all the time for his church. That we find also in this day and in this evening solution in him. There is nothing in us that ever can please thee. And the only thing that we have to say in this evening, that the mercies of the Lord, that we are not consumed, that we are upholded all those years in the midst of this congregation, and that thy word was given unto us time and again to proclaim law and gospel, and that everlasting gospel for poor sinners, but also to the conversion of sinners and to the establishing of thy own work to the glory of thy name. Lord, leave us not over to ourselves in this evening, and that we were privileged that not man was standing on the foreground, but only the Lord, who is worthy to be praised and to be honored and to be glorified of each and every one here on earth and in heaven, but also from thy servants, strengthen and sustain them for all those years, with our dear wife on our side who had offered up so much also for this year and for other congregations for so many years. Lord, that we with all the blessing ended in thee, and that thy blessing also will rest upon our gathering in this evening, that it be to an eternal blessing for each and every one, also for our consistory. There is still one in the consistory who had met us when we came here in this country, in that great city. Not some are with us, but very few, who are still in the land of living from the time that we came and were installed in the midst of this church. That we honor thy name in everything and for the future, that it may please thee, that thy hand protect us, that thy strength was given in our heart to go on, How long or how short we don't know, but that we deny of ourselves that we seek the honor of the Lord and the welfare of souls. Remember those of our brothers who are with us in this evening, and that it may please thee that we together with them acknowledge thy holy name for all that thou hast bestowed upon us, and that we together in this evening were humble before thee with our children and grandchildren. Lord, remember us, and we be with the congregation, with young and old, great and small, to the honor of thy name, and to our souls eternal salvation, and that all with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 280. The collection will be for the school, as usual. 280. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me, bless his name. And what follows, number 280. Beloved congregation and brothers in the ministry, it is really and truly well worthy to acknowledge the name of the Lord for that great privilege that he has bestowed upon all of us, that we are 25 years in your midst. The consistory especially had asked us to say some words this evening. Otherwise, it was not my intention to do it. Not that it was not worthy. Indeed, we have to acknowledge the Lord for that great privilege which he has given unto us. But you know, as I know, with such occasions, men is most of the time more on the foreground than the Lord. And it behooves us to bow before him. David, he said, who I am, my house, my offspring, and my life. And when he had a Thanksgiving day, then he said, Lord, what shall I say? Thou knowest thy servant. Therefore it is, congregation, the wish of my heart, that not men this evening receive any honor. That would be a dishonoring of the Lord. But that the Lord may receive all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. As you read that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, only the first part, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, that is a wonderful testimony of the Apostle Paul. The grace of the Lord was glorified in the heart and in the life of that man. That free and that sovereign grace, which is not merited by Christ, but that flows directly out of the heart of God, who is mentioned in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, the God of all grace. The Lord had known that man from all eternity, you know that. His name was written in the book of the life and of the Lamb. And for the first 30 years of his life, that man was not converted, regenerated, no. He was an enemy. He was a persecutor and blasphemer, as that he had given himself so many times a testimony of death. And you can realize in his epistles that it was something that keep that man always mud on the ground. I have always thought that even that Paul, in the last letter that he wrote, before that he died, in that last letter, then he reminded Timothy and the whole church what he was before. But there came a time for that man, you know it, I have not to say so much about it, but on the way of Damascus, with the letters in his pocket from the high priest, for the authorities in Damascus, that he could find God's people and to kill them. But of course, it was in the condescending mercy and in the eternal love of the Lord so different. There came a time before that he entered to that gate that the Lord broke that man down. He saw that light. The other people saw that light too. But he was the only one that heard that voice. And it was done. It was done forever for that man. The Lord, he broke that enmity in his heart. And instead of an enemy, he became a friend. He was privileged by the grace of God after a few days to receive the forgiveness of all his sins and all his transgressions. And the Lord, he put a stamp upon the work of grace glorified in his heart. And you see that in his epistles, that man was privileged also as an apostle of the Gentiles. He was before, well, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, but later on, then the Holy Spirit that was his teacher. And the Lord had given that man that privilege to be as a pillar in the church of God. But all, as he declared, but by the grace of God. I am what I am. Thus, where now Paul prays the grace of the Lord, that means grace that is always standing towards guilt, and grace that excluded all work of men and everything that is of men. There is, when the grace of the Lord be glorified in our heart and soul, there is no room for men, and there is no room for anything that is of men. Therefore, the Apostle Paul, he had a desire, nothing else than to praise the grace of God. And that was the reason, not for the first time in his life, but that was also very known to the end of his life, that he was, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That was till the end of his life to congregation. You know, Joseph Irons, he said in one of his sermons, that if the Lord have some work for his servants, a special work, and the Lord bless their labors, then he said they shall have much trouble with the devil. And now Paul, there was almost no man that had such a clear conversion as that man. If you call him midnight and you say, Paul, tell now, where did it happen? What took place? Then he was ready to give you an answer. With Timothy, that was so much different. However, the root of the matter was in his heart also. But it was with that man so clear. He was standing as a pillar, so firm, to know nothing else in his life than Christ Jesus and him crucified. And still, the question comes up, would there well be ever a man that have so much strength inside as the Apostle Paul? You read, for instance, in Romans 7, what a strife that he had with that old man of sin. And in 2 Corinthians 12, the first 12 verses, after that he returned and came back from heaven, and that man that had seen and heard so much there, a wonderful privilege. But then as soon as he came back, a sharp thorn in his flesh and an angel of Satan that buffeted him. And then you read in that same chapter that he had prayed the Lord to deliver, but the Lord had never done it. But well that the Lord said to that man, my grace is sufficient for thee. And if you read in 1 Timothy 4 verse 18, and that was before that he died, then he said, and the Lord shall deliver me from all that evil work that was all in sight. And he shall protect me to his heavenly kingdom, and then only to give all the honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, I am what I am. That was personally, but that was also as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, it is not so easy this evening to talk to you on account that there is so much in my head and heart to think about. But the Lord had strengthened us and he had upheld us and he had given us restraining grace, upholding grace. Because so many years in one congregation, that is not an easy task. When we came in 47 years in New York, then I have so much courage. I have courage to come here. Why? Because the Lord, he had persuaded me that it was his way to take that call. With several words that were involved at that time, out of the Word of God. In regard to the language, because the Lord had promised me, I shall teach you, my eyes shall be upon you, but that way from that boat to Patterson, then it changed already. One who is still an elder with us, Brother Burko, was there with that boat, and I see Van het Hof here, not this evening, he was ook an elder that time, and of some deacons who were that time there and are still in the land of the living. But that same afternoon, instead to have so much courage, that was almost taken away when I heard in that house by that family landdeck those girls talking English. I thought, could I go back? But of course, that was impossible. And it is only the Lord that knows how many tears that were shed also here on Plainfield in that home. And on Webster's. And in the home in which we are living now. Because God's way that is so different as that we have figured it out. God's way that is nothing else than a way, as you read that in Numbers 14, verse 24, that the Lord is doing breaking off. That is what his doing always is. We came in March here. In April, my wife was in the hospital, and that elder van het Hof that there sit, he said to me Saturday evening, the report of the doctor that is, your wife shall die, or that shall die, one of the two certain. But you know what happens. The Lord made everything well. In August, there unexpectedly, we came in the hospital on a Saturday morning. The doctors don't know what happens at first. Later on, they operated me. And on Sunday afternoon, I became unconscious. Till Tuesday evening, that I saw my wife and my older son sitting there asking what they were doing here. There were at that time so many prayers. There are several gone and in heaven already of that people. What a disappointment. But the Lord, he spared my life. And later on, you know, in 62, in what deep way that the Lord brought us again with our daughter. And then in the same time, we must be operated also again. The night that I called from the hospital, from my bed there, my daughter in an arbor. We never shall forget it, because we thought to see one another no more in the land of living. But one night there in that new house, out of Psalm 138, where it said, gij hebt uw naam gemaakt groot, als gij in nood u toont waarachtig. En then the Lord, he took everything over. We were only 1 week in that hospital, one Sunday, and the next Sunday we were again in your midst. There are so many things to relate it, congregation, but you know, the Lord Jesus, he said in Luke 6, verse 26. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. And you know, we have never to complain about attendance in the church. Never. The congregation, you know that self, always so faithful, far above expectation, because to listen 25 years to the same man, yeah, finally, then you can well figure out how that he started and how that he ended. But still there is still this day not love in our midst for the truth. But still there are other ones who have cried Hosanna. Later on it became crucify him. But there is another text that I found in 2 Timothy 4 verse 16. And there Paul, he said, as same man that declared here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, no man stood, all men for sheep seeking. I cannot say that, no. That same love that he has shown to us when we came to this place till this day that had not changed in regard to the congregation itself. And I am so persuaded, congregation, as I told you many times, I am not a perfect preacher, no. One of your former ministers here, when he died, I was there too. And then he said on his deathbed to another minister that was with me there, I have preached more than 7,000 times. But he said, I did never one good sermon. And I have to say the same thing. But there is one, and I have no freedom to say this evening, that I am free of your blood. No. Other ones can say that, but I dare to say that. But I have well freedom and liberty to say to you, as you know, that we never in our preaching have deceived your soul for eternity. But you always have preached what is necessary. And now, by the grace of God, said Paul, I am what I am. And what is now one of the greatest privileges, what the Lord had promised me when I was 18 years old, and where it all came to an end, that I ever could be a minister. On account of the responsibility and on account of the blindness of my heart and mind, then he said to me so clear, fear thou not, I am with thee, be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And now, to the honor and to the glory of the Lord, he had performed that till this day. Sunday morning, by preaching about that subject, the forgiveness of sins, and the two words that I mentioned out of that answer, the Lord had used that for my soul this week so many times to the strength of my heart, that he will never remember our sins. That was the first thing. On account of the perfect work of Christ. But that also that people that came once for that tribunal, that the Lord never shall bring them there to condemn. And now that the Lord give upholding grace, there become no greater wonder as that the Lord had looked upon us. That is well a wonder, but that the Lord become not tired of us. And there are three brothers sitting preaching also in the midst of the church. They shall know and declare in our daily life, if we know some trait or job, or then we can say, I have a diploma. And I have learned so many years for that. But to preach, we can never learn that. And there is not one in a congregation that can realize how empty and how poor that we are. Oh, you read in the Bible about that boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And sometimes for our own heart, then we have even not five loaves and not 2 fishes. Then we have something no less than that. Nothing. And then so poor, even that we will give all our money that we have in the world, but to lay our hearts in it, it is impossible. Oh, we are so poor. And there are prayers for us, I know it. Oh, yes, I know it. That must be. If I think on the opening that the Lord gives sometime in the preaching of his word, then there must be people that not lay at the throne of grace to remember us. That is not dying out, no, and that shall never die out. But shall we now not praise the Lord for all the blessings bestowed upon us? With the consistory that sit there, they know it. We are always there, not the same meaning in our meetings, no. But there is no separation. There is still, till this day, no love for one another. And that is with most of the congregation also. We have to acknowledge the Lord for that blessing bestowed upon us. And I hope that in the future, it cannot be so long more, because I am 68 years old and 25 years in your midst. But I hope that the time that the Lord will spare us in your midst, that he will uphold us and Aaron's and hers on our right and left. And not only that, but above all, that the name of the Lord be honored and be glorified in the conversion of sinners, in the establishing of God's people and children upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Because in my heart personally, and in my life, there is nothing left than that only hope and that only expectation upon him. And that Jesus Christ is yesterday, today, and forever the same. And that he never leave and that he never forsake his church and his servants. And finally, congregation, what we need for myself, for my wife and children, oh, it is all so imperfect, we know that. There are so many griefs and so many troubles. But, oh, one thing I ask not for your money. I told you that many times, but a little place in your heart and in your home and in your prayer and love. That is what we need in our life. And then the time shall come, congregation, to leave this world. That is for you and that is for me. That we can say with Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Where the Lord had given that privilege, not only in Grand Rapids, but also in South Holland, in Wisconsin, in the West and in the East, to preach so many times there the word of God, and that the Lord in his condescending mercy had given strength and desire. It is a privilege if the Lord give us and good health, but also desire and courage to go on. And that in all the circumstances of our life, a place to go, people. And even that all the doors are shut here in the world, and even in Grand Rapids, but then it's Jan at the island of Patmos. Then he saw a door opened in heaven. And that means now everything. I hope, consistory, and I hope, brothers in the ministry, for you too, also by the climbing of your gears, that grace of the Lord. And then we have enough. But another thing that is never to have enough of it for our own heart and for our own soul, and that it is our daily prayer, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord confirm it to all of our hearts. I have to make it short this evening on account that 9 o'clock we have to leave this church this evening for people that hope to marry tomorrow evening here in the church. But I hope that from this evening that the Lord receive all the praise and all the honor, and my prayer for you and me, light and truth my way, that they attending send out force to be my guide. And what follows the first stanza of 120.
In the name of the consistory and the congregation, we in the first place wish to acknowledge the Lord for his great mercies which he has bestowed upon us during the last 25 years in giving you the help and the strength for your tireless and faithful ministry to us, the pure and unadulterated Word of God. You have held before us life and death, and have exalted the name of Christ as the giver to lost sinners. You have been very faithful in visiting the sick and the sorrowful. Your whole heart endeavors to the congregation will never be forgotten. May you further be granted the Lord's sustaining mercy while serving the church militant. In your name, Lord, with the redeemed, the Lord strengthen also you, your family, and your life. This is our wish.
Dear brother, Reverend Lemaine, and a congregation of Grand Rapids, it is in the name of the Synod of our churches in America and Canada that I will speak a few words to thee in this evening hour on this occasion that you have been the pastor of this congregation for 25 years. Thinking about you at this occasion, the text was in my mind, therefore, having obtained mercy, help of God, I continue until this day. There have been sad days in your life, so it has been with all the people of God and with all his servants. Twice you was taken to the hospital. As far as I know, twice you had an accident. So there had been sad things in your life. Sometimes you was obliged to take your wife to the hospital. So there have been sad days. Also there have been difficult days. We have our difficulties, especially when we are afflicted by the hand of the Most High. But also there have been glad days in your life, as well in your natural as in your spiritual life. There were sad days when the Lord was hiding his face from you, but at the appointed time, then the Lord came back, and he showed unto you the light of his countenance, and that were glad days. So it has been those 25 years in the midst of the congregation of Grand Rapids. Now, Paul, he says, therefore, having obtained help of God, I continue until this day. The Lord, he has helped you. There have been difficult days, and I think that were many days, and it was the time that you daily felt the barrier of the language. That were difficult days, but by grace now afterwards you may say, you can say, therefore, having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. I continue unto this day, the apostle says. He spoke at that time to King Agrippa, and he had related his conversion. I think by relating his conversion, his soul was revived. And we know he had come to his closing years. We read that story in the book of the Acts in chapter 26. Looking back upon the great things the Lord had done unto him regarding his spiritual life, as well as the wonderful things the Lord had done in his official life. Therefore, having obtained help of God, I continue until this day. He said, I continue. What were the things the apostle was continuing in? Often he spoke with the people, with concerned people, with children of God. He was continuing in doing that. He wrote to the congregation, pray without ceasing. The same thing, the pastor he advised to other people, he practiced them he himself. So he was continuing in praying for the churches, often day and night, that it may please the Lord to break down the works of the devil, to save many souls, to glorify his name, and to establish the churches. Paul also was continuing in preaching, and we know his attention. He had determined not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him crucified, to glorify the triune God. Then Paul he enjoyed himself. That was so delightful to him. And also to tell the people what man is by nature. To tell them who God is, and to tell them what man is. Also to preach unto them the way, how God draws sinners out of the darkness into his marvelous light. How the Lord arrests sinners, how the Lord convicts them, how the Lord humbles them, how the Lord makes them to believe that they are hell-worthy creatures. But also, that wonderful way God has found out by his Son Jesus Christ to save his people from destruction, or to preach Christ and him crucified. That was the thing Paul he liked to do, and it was his intention to continue therein, to preach Christ, and also to edify the church, to build up the church, that the name of God may be glorified all over the world. Now, having obtained help of God, that help the Lord has given unto you, in the midst of this congregation, for 25 years, what a long time he hears, especially a long time for a minister, having been at the same place for 25 years. That the Lord may strengthen you to continue unto the end, and to bless your labors abundantly in the midst of this congregation. That the Lord may strengthen you also to serve other congregations as well in America as in Canada, and that you may see many fruits upon your labor. The Lord may remember you, your wife and your children, and that also the works of the Most High may become evident in the midst of your family, is our vision prayer. So it may be.
Reverend LeMaine, Mrs. LeMaine, the children of Reverend and Mrs. LeMaine, it is on behalf of the Classes Midwest, and especially on behalf of the congregation of Kalamazoo, that I wish to express my congratulations to this very special occasion, that you may celebrate with one another the fact that you have been for 25 years in this congregation. When you were speaking about Paul, who said, what I am, and that I am by the grace of God, I also thought of another text that same apostle once said at a certain occasion. He said, I have labored more than anyone else of the apostles. Of course, there was a reason why he said it. And I dare to say that of all the ministers I know and have known, that no one has labored so much in the congregations as you did. You have said it, and we believe it wholeheartedly, that you don't want the praise for that. But it is a fact, and we must gratefully acknowledge it. Many times I have said it, and I publicly will say that also here, that it has been for me as a minister myself many times an unfathomable miracle how Reverend LeMaine has been able to do so much work. Often he was gone out of your midst, and I can realize it that you did not like that too often, that your minister was away so often to serve the vacant churches. But if God calls us to the ministry and he gives us a little love for his name and for the welfare of souls, and you are visiting those vacant churches that have always reading services, we don't despise them. We know that God does use and bless also reading services, but how hungry they are to have also one's ministers in their midst. Then you would understand his desire, and while God gave him the strength, also to serve those other churches. Reverend, by the grace of God, you have labored more than anyone else, at least of the living ministers. And I know you would like to see fruits upon your labors. That's actually that are our wages. Well, I can say this. I know from what I have heard in other denominations that your labors have not been in vain. And I think also in Grand Rapids there are examples of it, that your labors have not been in vain. Recently, also in Kalamazoo, we notice that all that seed that you have been sowing all those years, some of it comes up. So don't be too discouraged. You said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You also have experienced, congregation, that it was the truth. How often he has been strengthened by the grace of God. Of course, you also have experienced what he was not by the grace of God. You also have experienced what he was of himself. And I have heard when he was here at his 40th anniversary, and I heard it right now this evening too. Oh, he regrets it that he has not been a better minister to you. And I know that he speaks the truth. I hope from the bottom of my heart that also you may realize that tonight, that you did not value your minister as you should have done. I don't have any special thing in mind, but what a wonderful night that would be. Your minister wholeheartedly regrets that he also was yet a man. Do you the same? In your prayers tonight before God, and ask him to, for much love also for your minister in the future, that God may open his word for him. He said it, and it is so true. Of ourselves we are so poor, we are so empty. I remember in one of my congregations there was a woman, and I preached once a sermon, and I think Reverend LeMay knows that woman, and Reverend Haring knows her too. And when I finished the sermon, that woman, she was disappointed. She was distressed. And why? Well, where I stopped, she had hoped that I would have continued. She was listening for more. She missed something in that sermon. And what did that woman do? Did she roll around and tell everybody what was missing in that sermon. No. You know what that woman did? That woman wrestled the whole week with the Lord, that he might give that I would continue. I did not know that. And you know what happened? The next Sunday, where I stopped the Sunday before, I continued next Sunday. And God used that sermon about Isaiah 40 for that same woman who had wrestled the whole week with the Lord. The Lord blessed that who set that soul at liberty. Therefore, congregation, oh, pray for your minister, also for his wife. I think a word of appreciation is appropriate at this time also for Mrs. Lemain, who had to miss so much as a minister's wife. No one knows what a hard life a minister's life, a minister's wife has. She has to part with her husband so many times, even the children of a minister. Their father always occupied for the congregation, so many cares, so many needs. How little time does their father have many times for his own wife and for his own children? And therefore, oh, that the Lord may reward you also for the sacrifices you have brought, and that you yet may, in the years that may be given to you for the rest of your life, that you may enjoy with one another, Reverend and Mrs., the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and that you also may see the fruits of the fear of the Lord in your children and in the congregation. That's my personal wish, also the wish of the congregation of Kalamazoo, and it is the wish I express as the representative of the Classes Midwest.
Dear brother, Reverend Lemain, Mrs. Lemain, children, and congregation of Grand Rapids, it is not only as a brother in the ministry, but also in behalf of the Classes East that I will extend our congratulations on your 25th anniversary. For when we think about the Classes East, then I have heard that you have made many trips to the Classes East and that you have served these vacant churches very faithfully. And therefore, it is also on behalf of the Classes that we will extend our congratulations on this your 25th anniversary. It was your desire to express this evening our, by the grace of God, am I that I am. And when we read that text, then I read, thrice of grace. By the grace of God, am I that I am. And then it does not say, and the labors have not been in vain, but, and his grace, which he has bestowed upon me, has not been in vain. And at the end, Paul again says, but not I, but the grace of God, which has been with me. I think that is the greatest wonder, that God's grace has not been in vain. Your labors have not been in vain, not in the Classes East, I hear about that, and not also in the congregation of Grand Rapids. And what is the reason that the grace of God and the labor of a minister is not in vain? And then I would like to speak about him whose passion and death we commemorate together. For when I read about that suffering Jesus in Isaiah 53, then Jesus is not set before us as a frustrated Savior, but then we read, and he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. And till today, we see the travail of his soul. We see the fruits of the labor of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, when we look at the labors of Jesus, when we look at the travail of his soul, then we will disappear with our labors. And we will say, by the grace of God, I am that I am. And the grace which he has bestowed upon me has not been in vain. And then, dear Brother Lemaine, it is our wish and our prayer the Lord may remember you also in the future. I have felt what an important step it is to leave the Netherlands and to come over to America, but it must have been so much more difficult for you. And therefore, the great wonder that you are what you are, you have to say by the grace of God, to give the honor to God and to his grace. But on the other hand, also then we may look up to him who is that great prophet in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that Christ will anoint you as that great prophet with the oil of his Holy Spirit, so that Christ may be exalted to the highest and sinners humbled to the lowest. And I know that is a desire of your soul. That is in which your soul delights. The Lord give you that desire to exalt Christ and to abase man. And then also in the midst of the congregation, we might see the travail of the soul of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that many were called out of the darkness, and that a day might come in the lives of many, and that they would not only hear the voice of Reverend Lemaine, but that the voice of Reverend Lemaine became the voice of the Son of God in our hearts. For of those we read, that they shall live well. The Lord may remember you with your wife, children, and congregation, and he strengthens you in the future. That is our wish and prayer.
At the end of this meeting, in the first place, the consistory and the brothers who had spoken here, we hope that it brings us all together in the dust before the Lord. There is no reason that men would be honored. That was also the reason this evening that I spoke only a few words. And I have read, of course, the last part of that text, but I don't know. And you can well realize there is to mention many things about preaching and funerals and so on and so forth, but I thought it is the best thing not to talk about at all. Because only the Lord, only him, he must receive all the praise and all the glory, much more than that I can express to you in this evening. And the Lord remember you and us, especially the congregation too. In all your needs and wants, the problems are increasing, also in the families. The troubles are many for which we are placed. But the Lord may remember us in mercy, bless his word continually, as that he had done it to Paul, to a Saul on the way of Damascus, who was before so strong, but later on so weak. And also in our heart and in our soul, that we cannot deny that the Lord had looked upon us from eternity, and had looked upon us here in the time, and that he will do it the days that we nog shall live here in this world, because he had given so many evidences in our life and in our ministry here and in the Netherlands. We hope the Lord remember and strengthen also you brothers in your congregations. The labors are many and full of difficulties. I know that. But it is the Lord himself who can strengthen us and who can encourage us and give us that hope and that trust that he once will say to us, blessed of my Father, inherit that kingdom that I have prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Forgive all that was of men, and that we also, by the climbing of our years, and also those other ministers, that we praise and glorify the grace of the Lord, that free and suffering grace, and that obtained grace, and that applied grace, and that upholden grace, which is over all those that fear the Lord. Lord, hear us and bless us together, and be with all of us for time and for eternity, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now the doxology. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.